I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Welcome back to Radio Times. Yesterday, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie announced that the state was, quote, intervening in the management of the public school system in Camden. That makes it the fourth city whose public schools are being run by the state, including Newark, Paterson, and Jersey City. Here's the governor.
When I finally came to the point of making this decision, sitting in my office in Trenton, and I just said to myself, after sitting and meeting with the commissioner and a number of members of my staff who were taking me through the pros and cons, after they left me, I was sitting in the office by myself, and I said two things to myself in making this decision. One, enough is enough. Enough waiting, enough excuses, enough of the blame game. Enough. And secondly, that I believe that this is why people gave me the chance to do this job. Not to take on the little things, but to take on the big challenges. And when you take on big challenges, you run the risk of failing.
The city's public school track record is worrisome, a graduation rate of just 49%, a majority of the students performing below grade level, and 90% of the schools in the bottom 5% of performance statewide. So what does this decision mean for Camden? What does it say about the Christie administration, and how are those other districts doing that are under state control? We have two guests who have joined us here in our Philadelphia studios who know New Jersey well. Matt Katz is a staff writer for the South New Jersey Bureau of the Philadelphia Inquirer. His blog is at philly.com, the Christie Chronicles. Matt Katz, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks, Marty.
Also with us is John Mooney, founding editor, education writer for NJ Spotlight. That's a grant-funded online source of news and analysis about New Jersey politics and policy. And John Mooney, nice to have you with us as well.
Glad to be here.
You both made made a point of saying that Governor Christie did not talk about taking over, but intervening, and not to get too caught up in semantics here, John, but is there significance in the use of the word intervening and not takeover?
Yeah, I mean, the state has a long history with takeovers. We were the first state in the country that where the state stepped in and took over a school district, and that was in Jersey City in 1989, and they're still there. And they've since they've ceded some controls, but it's certainly not full autonomy, and they also took over Paterson and Newark schools in the early 90s and also still there. So and there we'll talk more, but those have been some mixed track records for sure. So I think they want to try a new tack with it, and with that comes a new vocabulary.
Well, Matt, but is it essentially a state takeover as you understand it? And I realize there's still some more information to be gleaned.
Sure. Yeah, that's what we've been calling it, and that's essentially what it is. I mean, the governor is going to have the final say on the new superintendent. We don't know exactly all of the ways in which he's going to be involved in the district, but we do know he's going to be able to pick the leader of the district, and the school board is rendered to an advisory role. So in that sense, it is an absolute takeover.
But he did use the word partnership. And is he just sort of putting some flowers and bows on what he did yesterday, Matt?
Well, unlike in some of the other districts where there was more resistance, he actually stood up there with three school board members yesterday. He had the Democratic mayor, Dana Redd, supporting him and standing up there. So in that sense, there is a partnership with the political establishment in the city, whether it's a partnership with the community is something else. But with the Democratic political establishment, they're on board.
Which is interesting because we're talking about a Republican governor.
Yeah, I mean, there has been a longstanding, and the mayor has made clear that she wants change in the schools too. So it wasn't a big surprise if those folks were standing up there, and all of them, certainly those three of the school board, is appointed by the mayor. So there's certainly some unanimity politically in that as well. But the Democrats, some of the statements that came out yesterday, Steve Sweeney, the Senate president, a Democrat, basically supported this. Certainly, you know, a big player, at least in the city and statewide, is George Norcross, the South Jersey political leader, and he certainly supports this and has been pushing this kind of move for a long time. So I certainly think that, at least politically, there is some bipartisan support on this one.
But why now? Why mid-March?
Well,
of years before the end of the school, a couple of months, I should say, before the end of the school year.
Yeah, there were a few things coming down. I mean, they put the state, the district on notice back in August and had set a timeline of 8 months at that point to do a bunch of things. And although they had done, you know, met some of those benchmarks, that was up in early April. The board, one of those ones was to move on hiring a new superintendent, and they were getting close on that. And in fact, we're interviewing, even just yesterday, we're interviewing finalists, and I think they wanted to get ahead of that game. It's, you know, I don't want to sound too cynical here, but it is an election year, too. And, you know, these things are symbolically make a big statement. And Governor Christie has certainly made education a big push, urban education especially. So I think a few things came together for him.
It's interesting, Matt, because yesterday Governor Christie used the word immoral. And truth be told, when you look at some of the graduation rates, the scores, I mean, it is troublesome and certainly worrisome. And you're not going to have a 21st century city if half of the people are not finishing high school.
That's right. I mean, Governor Christie talks more emotionally about urban education than he does about any other single topic.
Really?
Which is surprising considering he's from the from a very wealthy suburb in North Jersey and sends his kids to Catholic school and has had no real experience with urban education. But he has taken this as sort of a project of his. Now, unions and other educational advocates would say that his approach to urban education is totally wrongheaded, and his statement that he cares about these kids is not is just bogus because he doesn't believe that money equals success. So he has worked, while he talks emotionally about these kids stuck in these failing schools, he's also worked to change the formula for funding these schools. He thinks they get too much money and the suburbs don't get enough money.
Well, and just to put that into some context, as I understand it, you can correct me if I'm wrong, at least on paper, students in Camden in the public schools get $24,000 per student. Is that right, John?
I would, yeah, underline the word on paper.
Okay, that mean in real life?
Yeah. No, and it's true. I mean, they are... In New Jersey, urban schools are pretty well funded. We have a long-running case, Abbott versus Burke, which has led to literally billions of dollars in programs going to urban schools, and on the premise that these schools do indeed need more money because of the disadvantages the kids come in. And, you know, if you divide the budget by the number of kids, it comes out to, you know, early, you know, the low 20s, and there's no doubt about it, and that's on the high end of even urban schools. Now,
or suburban schools.
Oh, certainly suburban schools. But that's the point of the ruling, is that these schools do need more. But for urban schools, I mean, these are, you know, this is one of the more expensive school districts out there, if not in the nation. The strange part of it is you walk into some of these schools, and I know Camden a little bit. I know Newark very well. I know some of the other urban schools, and you don't feel like they're, you know, overflowing in resources. A lot of this money goes to personnel, certainly teachers, administrators and the like, but you know, these aren't fancy buildings. We are the building, you know, Woodrow Wilson School we were in yesterday, high school yesterday, was hardly some glossy place that you felt like they had everything they needed.
Well, let me quote something that you had in the Philadelphia Inquirer today, Matt. The state plans to fill many teaching vacancies now covered by regular substitutes. And as soon as the takeover begins, all children are promised access to books and technology that they now do not have. How is that possible?
We're not sure. I mean, what is most confusing about that is the state has had such a prevalent role in the district for years. They've had a fiscal monitor. There's a dozen state-paid employees in the central office now. So we're not clear exactly what difference this is even going to make. I mean, the monitors and Department of the Commissioners of Education could have rejected previous superintendent candidates. And they could have provided the resources. They could have fixed the curricula, which was also cited yesterday as something that the new takeover will handle. So we're not really sure how they're going to do these things. And I also don't know why they don't have the resources if they're getting $24,000
per kid. Yeah, exactly. I mean, go ahead, John.
Well, I mean, it reminds me, I was around when Newark was taken over, and there were similar promises. I don't think they were talking about computers back then, but they were talking about every kid having books. And I remember early on they painted the schools, and I mean they made a big effort of sort of, you know, all of a sudden it was going to be a different time, and that kind of wore off a little fairly quickly. I mean it didn't turn out that way, and so I mean, but you hear things in Camden as well as some of these other districts that there are books out there, but they're all in warehouses, and you know that there is, you know, potential for staffing, but human resources departments are so dysfunctional that they can't get the right people in the right places. So I mean, there are some organizational things that, that certainly could be done that would improve the situation.
But do you think, Matt, that there will be then more charter schools or some of these public-private, I guess, partnerships that have been talked about, and perhaps even school closures as a result of the governor's action?
Sure. There was a hint at that in the press release yesterday that they're going to look at space issues, and that is sort of the jargon for what we saw in Philadelphia, which was the closure of several schools. So I would expect that, and I would also expect more of what is known as the privatization of public schools, charter schools, these public-private partnerships, because when asked for a model of what he's looking for, the only school district that the governor mentioned yesterday was New Orleans.
Oh, interesting.
And New Orleans has gone that way post-Katrina. So I would imagine that's coming.
I'm curious about these other districts that have been taken over, John, and this, of course, goes back to the 90s and even before. Have there been marked improvements on achievement and graduation rates and all the benchmarks that are used to decide whether schools are functioning or not?
Yeah, I think there are, knowing some of these schools before and after, I mean, I think there's clearly some improvements. I think there is certainly some organizational things that really needed to be done. I think, you know, it cleans it up a bit. But, you know, raising achievement in urban school districts is very difficult. And it's not, you know, they have seen some gains. Part of the problem in New Jersey is we keep changing the tests. So comparing, you know, it's an apples to oranges type of situation. So it's hard to really measure. And the standards keep going up. We're about to change the tests again. So we're going to have, you know, you're going to see a big dip for a couple of years. You always do when that happens. So but I think, you know, there's certainly more opportunities for kids, but they're still struggling. And I'm not sure, I mean, you're going to hear critics say that, you know, the state is to blame now. And it's certainly their responsibility. I mean, they took them over with the intention. But we've had different administrations, each with their own different, you know, views of how things should happen. So, you know, the state is not one single entity that's been, you know, of like mind the entire time. And as Matt was talking about, largely a takeover is the appointment of the superintendent and that role and that the leadership that superintendent brings. And those superintendents have been a mixed bag. I mean, there's, you know, that's a lot is going to depend on who that person is who comes into Camden. And that is not always, you know, there's, you know, it's probably the hardest job in America is being an urban superintendent because they don't last long. And they've had a very mixed track record. You can count on one hand the success stories, really.
Well, let's take a very short break. We'll get back to our conversation. That's John Mooney. He's founding editor, education writer for NJ Spotlight. That's a grant-funded online source of news and analysis about New Jersey politics and New Jersey policy. Also with us is Matt Katz. He's a staff writer for the South New Jersey Bureau of the Philadelphia Inquirer. He blogs at Christie Chronicles at philly.com. Both of them joining us today in Radio Times because yesterday Governor Chris Christie said the state was essentially taking over the public school system in Camden. And waiting in the wings, we have a member of the Camden Board of Education, Sean Brown, and we want to hear from you, especially if you live in New Jersey, live in Camden. Give us a call, 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Philadelphia Orchestra supports WHYY. No composer ever expressed such aching sorrow, ever captured the agony of the crucifixion as did Johann Sebastian Bach. Yannick Nezet-Séguin, the Philadelphia Orchestra and choruses perform Bach's St. Matthew Passion. Tickets at 215-893-1999. Online at philorc.org. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Kimmel Center, the St. Matthew Passion of Johann Sebastian Bach.
Racial and ethnic minorities are becoming the majority in this country sooner than expected, and for many people, this rapid change will be a challenge.
There's going to be a real challenge to educate those older folks that these people are really important.
We'll talk about that next time on Tell Me More.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
Supporting WHYY, Moore College of Art and Design offers evening art and design studios for adult men and women at their convenient Center City campus. Programs include drawing and graphic design and certificates to help with career advancement in print and web design, fashion studies, and interior design. The continuing education spring session begins Monday, April 15th. Further details at moore.edu or 215-965-4030.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane talking with Matt Katz and John Mooney about the announcement yesterday, Governor Chris Christie in Camden speaking about the fact that the state was going to be more involved in the running of the city's public schools, saying we're acting because inaction is immoral. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. What do you think about the governor's decision yesterday? Joining us now is Sean Brown. He's a member of the Camden Board of Education, something he's been doing for the last 3 years. He's been living in Camden for the past 10 years, was born there, also founder of Young Urban Leaders, and that's a nonprofit focusing on building leadership on teens and young adults. And Sean Brown, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you.
What's your response to the governor's announcement yesterday? First of all, were you surprised by that announcement?
I was surprised by the timing, only because I, as a board member, found out really the night before it was confirmed. There have been rumors for a few weeks. I wasn't surprised overall in that the school district has had a lot of chances to get certain things right. And it's although we are kind of on the brink of getting things right, there was a strategic plan that was done not too long ago that we are in the process of implementing. And we had dynamic candidates for the superintendent search that was mentioned earlier.
So do you support what the governor does, or are you ambivalent about what the governor said yesterday?
So I think it's safe to be cautiously optimistic, because most people can agree that the conditions of our public schools right now are nowhere near where they need to be. Students aren't performing well. There are issues with the central office. There are issues with curriculum. I do think, though, it's somewhat hypocritical for some of the people that spoke yesterday, including the mayor, to discuss partnerships that never actually occurred with the school district. Mm. And also, you know, we have a lot of murders in our city. We have a suburban influx of drug dealing in our city. There are a lot of conditions that lead to the quality of education, and it doesn't seem that an intervention or takeover would address those social concerns. That's the mayor's job. It's also our governor's job.
I do want to pick up on that, but I'm also curious, as a member of the school board in Camden, is the board going to consider, or at least under consideration, the fact of contesting what the governor said yesterday, the idea of taking this issue to court?
Yeah, no, that's interesting, because the process is somewhat contaminated already. As was mentioned, our board president, who is technically the spokesperson for the board, stood next to the governor and mayor as the announcement was made, and that's a decision that we have to make as a group, and we don't have many days to do it.
So there's division on the board, obviously, on this decision?
I think there are definitely, you know, there were nine, now one resigned, now eight board members, and you probably have differing opinions, but I think we all understand the inevitability of what's going on.
How close was the board to actually naming a new superintendent?
Well, so we stuck with our plan. Saturday we interviewed we interviewed five finalists, and then last night we interviewed three people who are all equally awesome in their own way. Mm-hmm. And tonight those three people are going to still be presented to the public. The timing of when we were actually going to make our decision of who of those candidates would pick wasn't determined yet, but it would certainly have been done in the next couple of weeks.
Do you feel like saying those names on the air right now?
Well, I would say no, not yet. They're going to be unveiled this evening.
Going forward, what do you think then, what is your understanding of what the responsibility and role of the Camden School Board will be under this new plan?
Well, the main responsibility of any school board in this country is to be representatives of the community, to talk about the needs of what students need to learn, to bring issues to the attention of the superintendent who may not hear it from principals or from people in the schools, to make sure that the curriculum aligns with where our young people are. You know, in a city like Camden, I think it's important that we're teaching African-American history and Latino history because of our population, and making sure that our young people are learning hard skills that they can use after they get out of school. Mm-hmm. So it's tough to say exactly what an advisory board will look like. I think a lot of it has to do with the willingness of a superintendent to listen to a group of people. But it's also likely that the board could be unfortunately stuffed with political hacks.
Mm. And is that a worry of yours?
It is. It's been the history in this community.
Yes, and I do want to pick up on that with other two guests. Let me just ask you, and this, of course, there's a complicated answer to what will sound like a very simple question, but even just looking at the benchmarks for the public schools in Camden, if the graduation rate is less than 50%, is 49%, most of the schools are really struggling. Most of the students are really struggling. What do you think can be done to make the Camden school system a better school system? Sean?
I think that we have a focusing on curriculum and instruction is definitely where it begins, to make sure that you have the most qualified teachers in the classroom that are talking to teaching students the skills that they need. Everything else has to be surrounded around that.
So you need good teachers.
Great teachers.
Are you optimistic about the future of the Camden Public Schools, Sean?
I'm optimistic because there's so much attention that's on the school district right now, and now that the governor has put himself in the middle of this, that there's pressure mm-hmm. for results. You can use examples in other cities in Camden and national examples, but I like to think that the problems aren't too tough because we know what the solutions are. We know that you have to have qualified teachers, and you have to have a strong central office that supports teachers. You have to have principals that know how to run schools. You have to have board members that are true representatives of the community, a superintendent who's dynamic and well-experienced in organizing bureaucratic structures. There's also, I should mention, what's known as the Regional Achievement Center in Camden, which is a team of people who are in 23 of 27 mm-hmm. schools that are guiding this process, and they've been in our schools since September. And unfortunately, they're understaffed, but they have an impact on what's going on, too.
Well, Sean Brown, I appreciate the fact that you joined us today on Radio Times.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And he's a member of the Camden Board of Education. He has had that position for 3 years. Continuing our conversation with Matt Katz, staff writer for the South New Jersey Bureau of the Philadelphia Inquirer, and John Mooney, founding editor and education writer for NJ Spotlight, we are talking about the fact that yesterday Governor Chris Christie said that the state would be taking more responsibility for the public school system in Camden. We're talking about what it could mean for Camden and what it means for the governor and what it means for the state of New Jersey. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. John, what we heard from Sean was that when you've got a state takeover, for lack of a better word, it does, in a sense, remove the responsibility of a school board to represent the people that live in that city.
Yeah, I mean, this is a little different than what happened in other cities in New Jersey, where essentially the school board was abolished, and then slowly it returned to an advisory status over a course of time, and now there's advisory boards in all three of the takeover district. This, they are retaining the board, moving it to advisory status. The one thing they will be doing, the state will be doing, is they will appoint three other board members. So it's going to be a board of 12. The three other board members will be non-voting, but given that they don't have a whole lot of power anyway, that voting is not all that relevant. And it's been different in different, you know, in Newark, the advisory board is quite vocal. It's elected, very lively elections every year, even though they don't hold power. They certainly, they do hold a bully pulpit out there, and they hold public meetings where, you know, which have become quite the scene under this administration, at least. So they don't have a final say on budgets, but they're still out there. They're still the forum, the community forum. So, and that's, you know, that's not nothing. And certainly I think that they'll play a role, even if it's symbolic, but I think they will serve as a voice.
You know, Matt, it's interesting to look at this decision and also the fact that the police now in Camden are under, I guess, county control as opposed to city control. I mean, we're seeing and have seen over the years a kind of chipping away at local control of important services.
That's right. There's the county police force is starting up, and they'll be assuming all the role of policing in the city. Plus, you have the water department, tax collection. All of that is privatized. So, I mean, there's very little function left in city government. And, of course, there was the biggest municipal takeover in U.S. history happened in 2002. That ended in 2010, the day before Governor Christie came into office. And that no longer exists, but essentially it still does, because the local government has such little power over the day-to-day functions of their city.
But do you think that has prevented the development of those kinds of, if not institutions, less people who feel that they can control what happens within the city limits?
Well, I think the bigger point is that for the last 30-plus years, the Democrats and particularly the South Jersey Democratic operation has picked most of the council members and had such an outsized role in politics that there hasn't really been any sort of significant opposition. Elections are not really, particularly mayoral elections, there's not really any significant opponents. So, I mean, that makes it hard for anybody who is against the status quo to really sort of make waves.
Do you see George Norcross's fingerprints on this, John Mooney? Then we'll get to our callers.
I mean, he has been quite outspoken in the last couple of years on issues of, and specifically Camden. I mean, we saw him emerge on as a proponent of school vouchers for a while. That sort of dropped off the screen a little bit, but that was about Camden, and he then was obviously a key player in a law that was passed last year, the Urban Hope Act, which brought, which is bringing these so-called Renaissance schools, which are sort of, I mean, they're a hybrid of charters, but they're it's going to be a large charter network. The KIPP charter network is going to be coming into Camden with five schools, 2,800 kids. And he hasn't, I mean, he has spoken quite openly, and he's, you know, in disparaging terms at times. I think he's gotten a little bit more diplomatic. But he has talked openly about the state of the schools and how he sees that as central to the revival of this city. So he's a powerful man, and he clearly, you know, he clearly has a voice in this, and I think is increasingly going to be a big player in this. And I think you're going to see, we were talking earlier, I think you're going to see more charters. You're going to see more Renaissance schools. And already, I think there's another five schools that are at least in the pipeline to open next year, and that would be a third of the public school kids in that city, which is a pretty high amount. I mean, that's not New Orleans yet. New Orleans, where it's a majority, but it's, you know, I don't think there's any school over 20%, any other district over 20% in New Jersey. So I think we are seeing a very big shift in what public education is going to be in this city.
Let me ask you something, Matt, and then we will get to our calls. What's the relationship then between George Norcross and Chris Christie?
It's the most fascinating and most important relationship in the state of New Jersey.
I kind of figure, but go ahead.
You know, a cynic would call it transactional. You do this for me, I'll do this for you. They would describe it as bipartisan. You have a Republican governor and the most powerful unelected Democrat in the state. But they've had a tremendous working relationship. Those Democrats allied with George Norcross in South Jersey have handed or given Christie the votes he needed for the most significant policies he's signed into law in his term. I don't believe that without support from Norcross and South Jersey Democrats in the legislature that Chris Christie would be this national figure that he is. Because if there was a strong Democratic opposition that was against everything he wanted to do, because the Democrats control the legislature, Christie wouldn't have much in the way of accomplishments. So they've really worked together. And ideologically, they happen to get along on certain things, like reform of public employee pensions and benefits, which Steve Sweeney, the South Jersey Democratic Senate president, has pushed for long before Christie came to office, and education reform. So they've allied, and it's an interesting thing to watch.
A whole book there, I'm sure. Let me get, looks like Jose Delgado to join us, calling us from Pensauken. Jose, go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Okay.
I should say to our listeners that you sat on the board of the school district board in Camden for what, 24 years?
Something like that.
Something like that. Okay, go ahead. What do you make of what the governor did yesterday?
Well, I think that some of your guests have pointed out a very interesting point, and one that hasn't really fully been explored. I think that this takeover really has more ideological implications than it does educational, and that what is happening here is a concerted effort to privatize education. The plan was outlined in a leaked PowerPoint, I think it was last year, by the Courier Post, in which they projected their goal as being having 65% of the students in Camden attending charter schools or some sort of non-public school, and leaving 35,000 in the public school. In other words, reducing the policymaking power of the public school board to the point where it was just another provider, as they said. So there is an undercurrent, ideological undercurrent, that is best articulated by that group organization called the Broad Organization, which prepares people who to take roles in the privatization of public schools, which the commissioner and some other people that he's hired have graduated from that institution.
Well, Jose, let me take your comments and actually give John Mooney a chance to respond. What do you think, John?
Well, I mean, this is an issue that the Christie administration has been hearing, you know, basically since he came into office. And Jose is referring to the Broad Foundation. Mm-hmm. Eli Broad, a fairly, I would say, conservative, wealthy. I think his background is real estate in California and has funded a lot of urban education programs, and as well as basically a training program that trains superintendents to be. And Chris Cerf came out of that, and there's a few other folks in Jersey who've come out of that, and they've taken some criticism that they are about privatizing schools. And they deny that. They say that this is about the public schools. By and large, charter schools are public schools, but obviously they're run by private organizations, not for-profit, but they are nonprofit private organizations. And I think the report he refers to that was in the newspaper was, the department disavowed that. They said that was done by somebody middle management type who was just putting it out there as an idea. They certainly have stepped back from at least being public about that, but there's certainly some conjecture, and we talked about it earlier, there's some conjecture that the makeup of this school district is going to be very different, and that where charter and Renaissance schools, which are public schools, could conceivably be the bulk of the schools. I mean, it's sort of heading that way.
Well, and Matt, we're almost up on a break here, but I guess there's always politics in these various decisions. But do you see it as ideological as Jose does?
I mean, the fact that the education commissioner is technically a Democrat, and that people like George Norcross and Cory Booker in Newark have. Maybe ideological, but not partisan. Does that make sense?
It does, actually. It does. We're talking New Jersey, after all. Well, let's take a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation, talking with Matt Katz and with John Mooney about the decision yesterday announced by Governor Chris Christie that the state would essentially be taking over Camden's public school system. And I should add that three other districts in New Jersey are under state control. That includes Newark, Paterson, and Jersey City. We're taking calls. And thank you, Jose, for the call. We're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. We particularly want to hear from our Camden listeners. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
St. Joseph's University supports WHYY and shares its commitment to a better informed public. Through academics, social justice programs, and real-world experience, SJU is committed to inspiring students to develop their talents and give back to the world around them. More information about St. Joseph's undergraduate, graduate, and degree completion programs is available at sju.edu/livegreater. St. Joseph's University. Live greater. That's the Magis.
After England and France went to war with Germany in 1939, there was a ferocious debate in America over whether the U.S. should come to their aid Or go even further and enter the war. On the next Fresh Air, we talk about the isolationists and interventionists with Lynn Olson, author of Those Angry Days, Roosevelt, Lindbergh, and America's Fight Over World War II. Join us.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. Research has shown that too much technology can turn kids into zombies, but what about new interactive technology? Toddlers love tablets. One researcher calls iPads a baby rattle on steroids. Also, Detroit's new emergency financial manager, Kevin Orr. What can he do? That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen talking with Matt Katz and John Mooney. And just a recap here, speaking in Camden yesterday, Governor Chris Christie announced that the state was going to be much more involved in the running of Camden's public schools, saying we're acting because inaction is immoral. I should add that the school's graduation rate is 49%. 90% of the schools are in the bottom 5% when it comes to test scores. And the response to the governor's decision, according to our guest, has been muted and mixed. We're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Because you're here, John, and you know Northern New Jersey a bit better than those of us down here, I'm curious about Newark Mayor Cory Booker, his relationship with Chris Christie. We should say that the state took over the Newark school system a number of decades ago now, got something like $100 million from Mark Zuckerberg. What's going on in Newark?
Yeah, I mean, their relationship's also interesting. It's our version of Norcross Christie. And they took over, it's not quite decades yet, but they took over in 95. And so it's approaching a decade. So before Mayor Booker was in office, but he has clearly been in the reform camp and was actually an early, was on a founding board of a charter school, has been in favor of school vouchers, and, you know, has certainly been in more Christie's camp than the status quo. And has allied with him clearly on some things. He was really the man behind the Zuckerberg gift, which came to the district now 2+ years ago, and he and Mayor Governor Christie went on Oprah to announce it, and he's been very outspoken on it. Has lately taken some heat on how he has not, on the other hand, promoted local control for the district, and. You know, he has an interesting relationship with his own city, to be sure. But there are folks who think that, you know, he hasn't stepped up and said that the state needs to hand it back. Now, there's some nuances to it, too, because there was some talk that if Christie did ever return that district to local control, it would be to mayoral control, which would have worked out quite nicely for Mayor Booker. But at this point, he's leaving in a year or so. We'll see. Or at least it seems to be. He seems to be heading off to greener pastures, and so he wouldn't be control that he would have. But even so, I think he's taken some heat from within his own city that he's not standing up for it more in this.
Well, Matt, we should say that there's a governor's race in New Jersey. Does any of this factor into that election?
Yeah, a bit. In that his Christie's expected opponent, Senator Barbara Buono from Central Jersey, she's a state senator, was actually endorsed last week by Cory Booker, and then Booker was forced at a press availability afterwards to explain all these educational issues that he's actually siding with the governor on. And then yesterday, Buono was asked for a comment, and she gave something relatively neutral on this. She is not coming out against the takeover, which means that this is actually a really helpful thing for Governor Christie politically. He got to stand with an African-American Democratic mayor, and it fits with his image. You know, the headlines read, Christie's taking it over. Christie's going to fix it up. And there's very little risk because no one, you know, do we really expect him to succeed in the next year or two? We don't. So the expectations are low. So it works for him.
Well, he did talk about the risks. I mean, it seems to me, and maybe it just takes too long to figure out whether this is going to work or not. But nonetheless, I mean, it seems like he's put some personal and political capital on the line.
Well, you know, that was the way it was framed yesterday, and his education commissioner said it was he described it as something akin to the most politically risky thing he had ever seen. But in my mind, I mean, the governor is up for re-election in November. Assuming he wins, he's around for 4 more years. A lot of us don't expect him to be around for 4 years and think he's going to run for president. And, I mean, nobody really anticipates within 5 years there's going to be this massive turnaround of the Camden School District. And if there is a little bit, then it works for him. So I actually don't think it's all that politically risky.
And you're shaking your head no.
Yeah, I don't either.
I
mean, he's not raising expectations. He's making the point that to do nothing would be worse, and so he is taking action. I don't see a whole lot of risk to this. I mean, certainly if the district totally implodes or something, but I don't see that happening either. I think that you'll see some, you know, you'll see some buildings painted. I mean, back to, you know, and those are, and I think you'll see some organizational things that will come in. A lot's going to depend on this, who they select for the superintendency, mm-hmm. and who that person and who they bring into the top management, and who those principals are. And those things take a couple years just to do. And so the results of them, you know, I do think that he'll be probably heading out the door before we're making any judgments on that.
Well, let me get back to our callers at 1-888-477-9499. We have Suzanne calling us from Collingswood, New Jersey. Suzanne, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
Hi there.
My name is Suzanne. I'm a state certified New Jersey teacher, and I've actually volunteered at one of the charter schools in Camden, and I brought with me a math curriculum that was probably very expensive. Cost me $80. I went to a meeting with the teachers, tried to teach them how to use it. Some of them fell asleep. Some of them left early. Now, just recently, I have a whole entire collection of science books because I was a fourth grade teacher, mm-hmm. as well as some literature-based books. I call a middle school in Camden offering to donate the books, and for weeks, nothing. So I assume they just don't want them. So sometimes I just feel like there is help out there that people want to help, and I think it has to come from the community. More like people going actually out there and doing something. I mean, as far as the governor and he wants to take over the schools, then it just seems like it's more administration. But Camden itself has to reach out and take the help that's offered instead of just, you know, I just feel like they give up.
Well,
they just don't want it.
Suzanne, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Matt, I'm curious about your response.
Oh, it's possible those books didn't align with the curriculum for that year for the test those kids have to take in order for the teacher to keep his or her job. So, I mean, it might be a little bit more complicated than that. But I do think that there is interest, especially in the relatively wealthy suburban communities around Camden, to help Camden. And the one optimistic thing out of this, or one potential optimistic thing out of this, is that there's now renewed attention on the Camden schools. And if that sort of stimulates some grassroots support from the surrounding area to help the schools in terms of volunteer work or money in some way, that'd be great. And you'd want to see the superintendent take advantage of that and realize that he or she will have a lot of money and resources in a very immediate area. And South Jersey really does see Camden as sort of the, you know, people will have roots there. Their grandparents are from there. They drive past there on the Patco every day and feel guilty about it. So there's resources to be tapped.
Suzanne, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Let's see what Kyle from Grace Ferry has to say. Kyle, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I just want to make a comment that so frequently we hear from, you know, Chris Christie that we need less government, you know, less government intervention. But when it comes to taking over schools, he is all for it. And it makes me wonder what his motives are. Does he believe that government can fix it, or does he just want to be able to take control in order to privatize it? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Kyle, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Sean, what do you think?
No, I mean, I think he does want to. I do think he's sincere in wanting to provide a better way for these kids. I mean, it's fairly untenable, and I think that's one of the reasons you haven't seen a lot of political opposition to this from folks. It's hard to be defending the status quo on that. And it was very interesting one of the things he said yesterday, and it was, you know, it was rhetoric, but it was an interesting twist, is he talked about, because a lot of it is, and his own commissioner uses the language, it's in, you know, we have to think about what's in the best interest of kids, and over and over, and it's the big reform mantra. Don't worry about the adults. It's should be all about the kids. And he turned it around a little bit in his closing comments yesterday, and he said in his own mind is how he thinks of it is what would he do if these were his kids? And it was a somewhat of a nuance, but it was interesting that he would say it. And certainly, I do think he is sincere in that. But his ways of going about it are controversial. I mean, there are folks who think, and a lot of people, and there's a lot of good research now that a lot of this all starts with preschool and getting our handle on preschool and providing real quality full day programs have make a real difference. And there's some recent research in New Jersey that have shown that, but. You know, you can't just start with preschool and forget the fact that there's 10,000, 15,000 kids right now who are not in preschool anymore and need the help. So it's not an easy one. But I do think that his intentions are to improve the lot of these kids. How he does so and clearly where his faith is in doing so is controversial.
Kyle, thanks for the call to Radio Times. But, Matt, is Chris Christie a little government guy? I mean, is he one of those Republicans that wants to shrink the size of government in dramatic kinds of ways?
Sure, he preaches that. But, the budget has – the state budget has gone up under since he's been in office. And certain departments have taken cuts, like the Department of Environmental Protection, but others really haven't necessarily. I think he would say that this is yes, there's more government involved now, but it's a means to a greater end. And the greater end is that state government can pull back, send less resources. I mean, the state funds like 85%+ of the city school budget. So, we'll put in more government now, but it's a means to pulling back more and giving more local control down the road.
But didn't the governor take over parts of Atlantic City that were in trouble?
Yes, I actually see these two as similar, very, very analogous. You have he took over part of Atlantic City, another entity in South Jersey that people are not very optimistic about. So again, the expectations are relatively low, and he sees that as I'm gonna put some more government in now, but in the end, my goal really is to pull back and let the place exist on its own.
Well, let me get back to our callers at 1-888-477-9499. Looks like we have Daryl from Philadelphia. Daryl, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yeah, I have a comment. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I think a major component in higher student test scores and performance is the curriculum. My daughter went to a very exclusive private school on the main line, and in the third grade, she was being taught algebra, Latin, and they were preparing her for the SATs. The average SAT score before they changed the high grade was 1350.
Wow.
And my comment is I think that if there was a standardized curriculum, you could take that curriculum that Baldwin has and put it in the worst performing schools. All things being equal, those students will perform as well as the Baldwin students. That's my comment.
Okay, fair enough. Daryl, thanks for calling into Radio Times. Do you think that would, we're talking about Baldwin, a very high-powered private school in the Philadelphia suburbs. Do you think that would translate to?
I mean, I think there's something to be said for rigor and expectations, and clearly these. These schools have suffered from some low expectations and some rigor. But you also have to give these kids the foundations, and this goes back to some of these issues of preschool and
poverty.
The big one is poverty. I mean, this is a very tough situation where these kids are coming from. In a lot of cases, some dire situations, and schooling isn't necessarily the first thing that they're thinking about when they go home and go to bed. So, I think there's a lot to it, but he makes a valid point that and one of the issues that arose with Camden was that his curriculum was all over the map if it existed at all. And I think there's some movement towards that. There's some national standards. They're called the Common Core State Standards that are starting to sweep across the country, including in New Jersey, and it's where a lot of these new tests are going to be aligned with. So there's a lot of folks talking about strengthening curriculum, but I also think it's about doing some other things to get kids ready even to learn.
What do you think, Matt?
I think it's tough to expect a school to average 1350 on the SATs when kids many kids don't have money to have breakfast in the morning. When they're going home to houses that don't have heat when they're sometimes literally dodging bullets on the way to home from school. So there's obviously a lot of other factors that make a typical child's experience in Camden different from that of a typical child's experience at a school like Baldwin.
And we should also underscore the fact that Camden has a problem of crime.
It is the most dangerous and the poorest city in America, according to the most recent data from people who study these kinds of things.
And the folks who have pushed back against Chris Christie's approaches in general have, and the larger school reform movement out there have spoken to really where the money should be going to is addressing some of these issues of disadvantage. Preschool is one of them, certainly, but social programs in the schools, longer, enrichment programs, things that keep the kids in, things that help the families, turning schools into even health centers to a degree. So, that's a counterpoint on this, and I don't think that argument's going away. A lot of those programs have been very successful. The Harlem Children's Zone is an example, which Christie actually has embraced to a degree up in Patterson as well, but was an example where they really made them, villages upon themselves. And so there's certainly no doubt the effect of poverty is, and the fact that Camden is the poorest or one of the poorest cities in the country is very much weighing on its schools.
We're almost out of time, and I know you have a forum, John. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell your listeners on Monday, April 1st at 5 o'clock, NJ Spotlight is hosting one of its roundtable discussions, and this one, somewhat presciently, I might add, is on Camden schools. We did not know when we scheduled this that it would be there would be a takeover a week earlier, but it's worked out nicely. And we're going to have some panelists from the district, from the charter schools. George Norcross is planning to be there as well as a panelist, and we're trying to get some state players on board too. So hoping folks come to our website, njspotlight.com. On the right side, you'll see the promotion for it and a chance to register, and we hope to we already have a pretty good this has been very good for attendance, and it's filling up. So if you're interested, please join us.
Well, John Mooney, thank you very much for joining us today on Radio Times. And Matt Katz, thank you for joining us as well.
Thanks, Marty.
You're welcome. Matt Katz is a staff writer for the South New Jersey Bureau of the Philadelphia Inquirer. He blogs at philly.com, Christie Chronicles, and John Mooney, founding editor, education writer for NJ Spotlight. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times to find out much more about this program. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times. Emily Bryant helping us out today. The show is produced by Susan Greenbaum, Patty McMahon, and Debbie Builder. I'm Marty Moscowane. Thank you so much for joining us. Coming up in